Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
You heard it rolling into the 4 o'clock hour. Nyshawn Zaragoza is in as a company today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a solid first hour. Willie Ramirez hitting a home run there at the end. Solid. Curtis Terry chiming in as well. Good stuff. Good stuff. I really need to get to my core, which is hair, makeup, and why are you laughing?
But why is this your core?
Well, it's clearly sarcasm, but there are good stories out there, so let's get to them. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
All right, we come out of the gates here. We, believe it or not, I think it was last Friday night that we hit on a really weird story concerning Olivia Culpo's wedding dress. So to set this up, Olivia Culpo, before she got married to Christian McCaffrey, the running back of the Niners, she did some interviews. I'm trying to think of the magazine, but I don't read that magazine, so now I can't remember the name of it. But she had talked about that basically she didn't want to oversex her wedding dress, and she wanted to kind of represent conservative values. So there are words, liberal, conservative, that are big triggers. So she does this whole feature on her wedding dress. And listen, in the world of social media, when you talk about your wedding dress or you talk about your looks or what you're trying to, the messenger, like, you do want attention. That's why you're doing it. Well, she got the attention maybe she didn't want, and there was, believe it or not, there is an Instagram handle called Gown-Eyed Girl. She judges and talks about wedding dresses. And she got all mad that Culpo mentioned conservative and didn't want to be oversexed. And she thought that Culpo was trying to spread a message of kind of dress and slut shaming. I know. This stuff doesn't even register with me. I'm like, what in God's name is going on? So then Christian McCaffrey jumped in and was like trying to attack that IG person. So I think this is really interesting that Culpo puts up a video of her putting on makeup and Christian McCaffrey is narrating it. Just listen to this for whatever, 30 seconds.
I'm going to blow on this. What's up, guys? It's Olivia's fiance, Christian. Get ready with me as I put my makeup on. I take this stick. I put it under my eyes. Then I put it on my nose. Then I put it under my nose, on my chin, tan stuff, on my forehead, tan stuff. Take this egg-shaped thing really over my eyes. Beat my head with this egg multiple times. Don't know what that is, but now I'm putting dots on my face as if... Oh my God. How silly is that? I actually got some on my nose. Oh, my God.
That went on for like 90 seconds. Listen, they're newlyweds. They're having fun. I have no idea if it had anything to do with the wedding dress and the influencer judging her because McCaffrey got all mad. This is crazy. But I will also say there are certain worlds I don't think guys should really wade into, at least certain guys.
And you don't think Christian McCaffrey is that guy?
Just be careful. I don't know what he wants out of this, but I just think a peaceful existence on social media for NFL players is probably the best approach going into a season.
I'm only going to be careful as much as I desire to be careful, okay? How I'm going to approach this topic is that women need to get a life, because why are you so focused on another woman's dress? That, for me, is number one, you're hating. If she feels like she wanted to go with more of the conservative look to, I would say, maybe have more respect for her husband's religious beliefs, that is okay. Where I stand point on this, because I thought that her dress was beautiful. It was very conservative. She was not showing skin. That's what she wants to do. But my thing with this whole entire situation, not that I care, it ain't my business, but I'm gonna give my opinion. You desire to have these conservative beliefs, but you're still on Instagram with all these half-naked pictures of you in bathing suits. So I don't understand the conservative aspect of your wedding dress as to compose to what you put up, the front that you put up on social media, because you are a model. So you can have a dress, but you need to learn to be conservative before and while you are and your husband, not just say when I walk down that aisle, I want to have a conservative look, but then I want to go on Instagram and be half naked in bathing suits. Those two don't make sense.
Ooh, okay. All right. I thought you might just say I'm not interested in this. You are. You are.
I got a little bit of an opinion, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, but there are women who don't care.
Yeah. True.
Right? There are women who don't care. All right. Number three.
Number three.
All right. I'm throwing one at you, sight unseen. In our rundown at actual number two, I have a picture linked of Billie Eilish, and I guess she's on, is there some dating, what is this? A chicken shop date.
Okay.
She's going to appear on that show. She is wearing a hat sideways, looks like a bandana, pretty loose clothes. All I want to do is learn lingo. I'm trying to stay young.
Let's go. I will teach you.
Someone said, and I'm going to read it verbatim. This is not my delivery. Why she always dressed like Chingy?
That's her persona.
Okay.
She's a beautiful woman, though, so I will say she could dress however the heck she wants. But
I will say she's very understated when she dresses. But, yeah, she's attractive.
Yeah.
Too old for her, but, you know.
Also, I
have
feel
no
like
shot either.
I love the fact that she does have her own style because it's distinctively who she is. You know, she's not fitting in with anyone else. She's setting her own standard. And to see her on Chicken Shop, I don't watch that too often, but when I do, that YouTube has at least over a million subscribers.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. That's how big it is.
I like chicken. I like looking it on dates.
I know you like chicken. You posted your half-eaten chicken on Instagram the other week.
By the way, how bad was that?
I loved it.
Okay. I got a rash of crap. A lot of people are like, I was going to text you, dude. You can't put it up after you eat part
yes,
of it.
Yes, you can.
I'm like, I got excited.
Who sets the standard of what your food should look like while it's on social media? You could eat your half-eaten. You could put your half-eaten chicken
right
on there.
So I do. I set the standard.
If I want to post a crumb, I'm going to post a crumb.
Okay.
And you do not have to follow me.
All right. Chingy is the person. Is that what this meant?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I don't know.
Let's see.
Rapper Chingy, and I see one picture where he's got a hat on backwards and looks like he's wearing a stocking cap. So is that it? We'll have to deep dive on this one. We got to move on in the big four. Number two.
No, it just says Billie Eilish dressed like Chingy, though.
I know. I didn't know if Chingy was a term or a person. Number two. Okay, here's another. We're very judgy this hour.
No, you're judgy.
I'm judgy every day. We're going to make you judgy. You're going to get in on these conversations. Tyreek Hill, in court, just ruled the father of another child by the Florida court system. Just weeks after Tyreek announced his wife is expecting a child, he reportedly has 10-plus children. Griffin sends it over the note. He had three children with three different women from February 2023 to May 2023. He and his wife are expecting their first child soon. Seven children with four women, plus the one on the way with his wife. I guess I just want to ask about the wife first.
I just have to laugh.
It's funny. I was having a conversation off air with someone about mob wives. That oftentimes, like if you go to The Sopranos, hey, Carmela had a deal with Tony. She actually threw out the line at one point that you will blank a catcher's mitt. You will do anything and be with other women. And the term mob wife, I think, would describe, hey, I got a great life. He can do what he wants. Is there like...
That's so sad.
It is. But I think a lot of people are in that... there are wealthy people who are in that position. I thought this... Now I'm blanking on her first name. It's actually Kenny Vaccaro's sister. When she was on whatever reality show was, Hard Knocks last year, what a catch. Really attractive woman.
Yes.
Fit.
Sweetheart.
This seems weird to me that Tyreek, before getting married and while married, is just pumping out kids outside his marriage.
You know, I won't touch on this situation too much because I truly don't know the depths that she has went for that man and vice versa, right? She may just love him so much and it's okay to put up with anything. We truly don't know what is going on. In my standpoint with that, it's just such an embarrassing look. That to me is such an... And someone had the nerve to compare him to Philip Rivers. And they're like, yeah, but Philip, he was a loyal man.
I think Philip, if we were going to use the term, this would be what? 7x4? Philip, I think, is 11x11.
Yeah.
Right? It's 11 or 12 with the same woman. Okay. Now, again, I know right now you don't like to delve into personal, make too much judgment on people. I run the Dolphins. I see a guy who's got the stuff with his wife. He's got payments to all these different women to pay for kids. You know, there was an Eric Cromartie deal years ago where it was like 14 with 9 women. He's going to be 31 after the season. He can opt out of his contract. He probably wants a new deal now. As much as the NFL personnel people and GM scrutinize players, are you like, yep, here we go. Jefferson makes $35 million a year. Tyreek, extension, and we completely trust you. It would make me nervous.
I would say if your outside drama and problems aren't affecting your play on the field, then what do we care? If it's not affecting you showing up on time and you performing at the best that you can, then what do we care? The question is...
I can't, but as a GM and I'm going to pay future money, I'm not only judging on the now. I got to make a read on the future.
True. So what is your future that you see for Tyreek Hill?
I think Tyreek...
That he hasn't shown you already.
I think Tyreek Hill is going to want $35 million a year or a little more. And for that money, I need Tyreek to be focused for 17 games. I need him to go out and get his whatever. 90 catches, 1,400 yards, and be available all the time to play football.
But I think
and not
he's
be distracted.
More, he's more than capable of doing that. He's already done it.
Other issue, speed guy versus like a 6'2", 205-pound guy, does speed live all the way, you know, into your mid-30s?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here, and every time I see some kind of court thing, and then he had a fire at his house, you know, late in the season or whatever, last offseason. He's a really interesting guy, and he's obviously he comes from his original background. Coming into the league, he had some problems as well. So had some allegations, domestic violence issues. It's just like there's a lot here for me to go, hey, $35 million a year. And keep in mind, the Dolphins did sign Jalen Waddle to a number one receiver deal, which I read as he's the guy in the future. And if we can't come to terms with Tyreek, then we can't come to terms with Tyreek.
I do agree with he is the guy of the future, but I also do agree that Tyreek is the engine that makes that off. He makes that offense run. But the question is, do you pay him now or do you wait another year, right?
I don't pay him
at all. That's the question.
I don't pay him at all. I let this go to the very end and really judge if he's going to be focused in his 30s, but I'm probably already of the mindset that he ain't coming back.
Okay, let's just wait to see what type of numbers and what he puts up this upcoming year. What his lifestyle is going to look like. Because what we've seen with his wife, it seems like he's trying to be a better man. Obviously, all these different allegations and things are coming out with him with other women and having children with them. But quite frankly, that ain't none of my business. Come and do what you're supposed to do on this field. Get these numbers. Play big. And that's all that matters. Because I don't really care what's going on in your personal life. It ain't none of my business.
Number one.
Number one.
We're actually going to carry this over. We're going to talk to the Burbs. We'll be over here in a couple of minutes. Patrick Berbert from TI, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Remember, free parking here, tremendous restaurants. This sportsbook setup is second to none, 55-plus TVs. We're watching a bunch of the NBA Summer League games and baseball. Get on down here. Two types of Loco Moco as well.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Risk Supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield and Company.
All right, let's do it. Here in the halfway point of the show, let's get the update of what's going on down here at TI in the Sportsbook. Yep, we're at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Patrick is with us. You guys and your players love horse racing. You are still very much dedicated to the sport. What do we got coming up? You got something big?
Absolutely. Coming up at the end of July here, July 27th and 28th, we're having a horse racing handicapping competition. Top two get a seat in the NHE Championship next year to win a shot at $1 million. And we're also going to have a grand prize here to win up to $180,000 for this competition as well.
All right. That's pretty big.
Absolutely, yep.
Cool deal. Love it. So I always mention 55-plus TVs when you split all the screens here. You guys have everything on, pretty much. NFL's on the way. And we've been talking about the court case that was happening with the NFL and DirecTV. And it was actually a bar in San Francisco that sued or brought it to court. And basically what came out of it was there was an antitrust violation. Now, the NFL did not get a good judgment. They're going to appeal it, so I don't know if anything is going to happen this year. Maybe it needs to happen this year so they don't have this happen again. But basically the claim was for years, like near 10 years, the NFL overcharged bars and people at home. You know what's funny? No one wrote sports books. Like, you guys count, too. Is there a fallout from this? Do you guys know if you're getting money back? Do you know if you'll get? Because we supposedly, as consumers, may get a discount this year. I don't know what's going to happen on that one. Do you guys have any? Did you already pay?
I'm not too familiar with that because our finance department handles all that stuff as well. But I do know that the sports books in general, they have basically a deal with the NFL and their whole package, and there's a price increase that comes with it each year. And it's astronomical, the prices that they charge for, especially our industry.
Yep. I mean, local bars, a lot of them, like, I don't know how a single bar buys the Sunday ticket. I really don't know how they make it worth it. So a bar chain, if you've got, you know, 5, 10, we've got a bar chain here that's got like 62 spots. Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money, but at least you're spreading it all over the place. So that'll be really interesting. I want to follow up on that to see how you guys are treated. Because if anyone's been hosed over the years, it's the sports books.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I think the NFL did it because it was like, oh, Vegas, sports gambling. Oh, yeah, sports gambling. You love it now, don't you? So I'm speaking way out of turn. That's not what corporate people do. That's not what anyone here at – maybe Mr. Ruffin would call it. I don't know. You're like, let's go. But that's – I know that's probably not the way it goes down. All right, so let's get into a couple of events going on right now, or at least coming up. Number one. I assume you guys booked USA and Canada? The game at T-Mobile?
The other game the other night?
Yeah.
We did not book that.
How come?
We did not book that game. We just wasn't in our menu for the night.
Will you book any of the other exhibition games? They play 2 in London, 2 in Abu Dhabi.
The exhibition games, no, but we will be booking the Olympic Games.
Okay. Expectation of handle? Like, what do you think it's going to be big?
We're hoping so. USA obviously is the favorite to win it, and you know, Canada's the second favorite, but they've got a pretty good team that could compete possibly with the USA and give them a good game. So hopefully that will get some good handle and revenue in here.
I was reading a note from another book that even with the USA at minus 400, that their handle is basically like 99% of the money is on USA.
I mean, I believe it. We're in the United States, first of all, and the team, it's full of superstars that everybody's favorite players in the league, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and you can keep going on and on.
So at minus 400, why isn't the number jacked even higher? Like, you want the action? Leads to other action?
When you look at some of these overseas teams, they play a little bit differently than we do in the United States. It's also the officiating is a little different than it is here in the NBA as well. And when you, like the USA team, you're going to have five players on the court at the same time that are dominant ball handlers that are all going to want their shots. Whereas a team like Canada or a team like France or Spain, they'll spread the ball out more and everybody knows their role. So there could be a little bit more team chemistry there.
So you're saying there's a shot for an upset.
Could possibly be. I still think USA gets it done, but it wouldn't shock me to the highest extent.
If I missed it, do you guys have the numbers posted now, or is it coming up?
We're working on that coming up.
I don't think Kawhi affects the number. Going bye-bye. Right? But you do have to be careful. If another country had a major player go down or not be allowed to play, because there are some situations like, is Wiggins playing or not? Because that's kind of a big name for Canada, and Golden State's like, we're trying to work out a deal here. We'd like that you don't play for Canada, so.
Absolutely. That's something we're going to have to keep an eye on.
So I'd be careful on that one. One more thing. By the way, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. You want to come out here, get a dinner, lunch, anytime. Breakfast, I assume, will be back for the before the football season?
Absolutely.
All right. It was good last year. I believe we have another Saturday show planted here. So they're going to want breakfast. They're very demanding. I don't even know who's on the show, so I'm ripping some show that I have no idea if it's staffed yet. But I want to talk NL Rookie of the Year. I read another property in town actually pulled NL Rookie of the Year off the board. Paul Skeens, I think, at maybe opened at 30-1 in that book, was down to 650. They saw the no-no the other night, and they're like, we're out.
This kid, Paul Skeens, he's phenomenal.
He's good. Did you guys ever have it up?
We did not post NL Rookie of the Year, but I've been following it very closely because I love looking into that market and whatnot. But, you know, he's the clear runaway favorite right now. I was just looking on FanDuel, and he's a $9 favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year. And behind him, you got Jackson Merrill. He's 4-1. And then behind him is the pitcher from Chicago, Shota. And he's about 20-1 right now. So I don't see any – as long as Skeens continues to pitch the rest of the year, I see him to keep pulling away, clear favorite.
You see there's a market now to buy tickets. Let's see. WagerWire is a new player on the deck. PropSwap's been around for a while. PropSwap was offered a ticket. Paul Skeen. Oh, no, this is an NL Cy Young ticket. Okay. This is interesting. Could he win the Cy Young? I mean, he was up early enough.
It's going to be tough for him. I mean, no, Ranger Suarez has come down a little bit from when he had his really hot start. He's still pitching good. And then, you know, you also still got Zach Wheeler on the Phillies as well. The NL has some really good pitchers. Glasnow's hurt now, so that hurts his chances as well. But if Skeens can pitch 6 to 7 innings every game throughout the rest of the second half after the All-Star break, and he does what he does because he's striking out like 8 guys a game minimum, and he's not giving up runs at all, and he can get some wins, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a push at the end of the year. And
some of these awards, when it's close, can also be popularity contest, good story contest. So anyway, long story short, on this one, someone had a Skeens ticket for Cy Young at 200-1 for $75. They sold her for $1,200. Wait, what?
I would have waited a little bit at least. You could have gave it a couple more weeks, see where he's at, and at least still sold it for something if he did fall off a little bit. But I believe from what we saw from him so far and what we expected when he got drafted, the price was only going to go up from here on out.
I mean, wouldn't the strategy be to kind of lay some money down on like the next four four choices above him, whatever it is? Right? Almost like hedging, I don't even know if it's a pre-hedge. You're hedging a little bit, laying some money out there. Boy, that seems early.
It's very early. We're not even at the All-Star break yet.
He's got a shot. All right, we are up against it. Patrick, I appreciate the time. One more time, give a pop to the horse handicapping contest.
Oh, absolutely. So end of July, July 27th and July 28th. We're accepting entries for a horse racing competition. You can win up to $180,000 in grand prize here. And also the top 2 seats get a seat in March's NHC Championship for a shot to win $1 million grand prize.
I do have one more question for you. Are you guys booking NBA Summer League?
Yes.
How aggressive you want to be on that one?
We're just basically foul mark with that. There's just too many variables with it, and you really don't know who's going to play most of the game with these guys.
What do you think of people booking Bronny James game by game, over-unders? Too much?
I think it's a little extra.
Okay. All right, Patrick, man. We appreciate it. There he is.
Thank you for having me.
Patrick Berbert here at TI Golden Circle Sportsbook and the bar. He is the risk supervisor at the Sportsbook. Joins us every week on Fridays. Nye is here. It's Cofield on Bronny. Mm-hmm. The dislike of Bronny, which is really a dislike of LeBron, I think it's gotten completely out of control. I thought this was great the other day. ESPN has Seth Greenberg on, longtime basketball guy, and the question was thrown to him, you know, the whole Bronny story and what's going to happen here in the future and also in the summer league, and he did not mince any words.
I don't have a reaction. He's the 55th pick in the NBA draft. All right? We're evaluating him like he's a lottery pick. Look, terrific kid, 6'1", 2 guard, high basketball IQ, all those things are great. He's going to end up playing in the G League. This is a great story. It really is.
Why do people hate it so much? Why do so many people hate it so much?
Because you're the son of a legend. That's the reason. And really, that's the only reason. Because if Bronny wasn't connected to LeBron James in any way, we wouldn't be giving it this much energy. And because the draft played out the way that it did, with Rich Paul calling all these teams saying they're about to ship him off to Australia teams, it's become a problem for people. And especially to see Lakers do absolutely nothing in free agency besides the draft, it's become a problem for people.
Last chance to get into our Summer of Fun. It is brought to you by our friends at Planet Nissan. We've got 8 trips going out in 8 weeks. We got a code word every day that you got to send in. 702-364-1100 is where you want to text it. Summer of Fun. 8 trips in 8 weeks. This trip this week is a cowboy vacation in Wyoming. You want to send in the code word of the day. Text line, unwind. Unwind is the code word.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Rolling on Cofield and Company, halfway point of the show as we're hanging out here at Treasure Island. Nye is here. It's Cofield. It's Nye Zaragoza from Franchise. So we got the softball game tomorrow, big charity softball game. It's a big deal here in town, battleforvegas.com. If you can still grab some tickets, it'll be sold out. And it's got superstars from all over VGK and the Raiders, and then also some wild card entrants like the Canseco brothers. Looking forward to seeing I'm sure Ozzie can still hit because he was a Major League Baseball player, but Jose Canseco hit softballs at LV Ballpark will be interesting, and he's a character. And we mentioned the last couple of days while at Mountain West Conference Football Media Day that Ricky White, star wide receiver, leading receiver in terms of yards, returning in the country. He had 1,400-plus yards, so he's going to play softball. Has never played softball. Has never swung a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And he's a first college player to be invited, right?
He is.
That's awesome. Good opportunity.
I know as we were fact-finding more about Nye, I asked about your sports background because last time of your win, we were talking about the sprinting at the U.S. Trials. And I was like, were you a sprinter? You're like, no.
I was a faker.
Just have an interest in it. Softball?
Not really. For this cause, yes. Did I grow up watching it? No. But I'm the type of person, though, even though I didn't grow up watching it, I can still find an enjoyment in it.
Oh, of course.
So will I follow it forever? No. Is this cause an awesome opportunity, and will there be great faces there?
Yeah.
Yes. And will I be there? Of course I will.
It's all for the VGK Foundation. Mm-hmm. I guess I was moving towards Ricky White hasn't swung a bat. Could you go out there?
Yes.
And get a potential base knock.
Yes, I'm very athletic. If there's one,
that's what Ricky White said yesterday, or 2 days ago. That's awesome. The confidence.
If there is one thing about me,
hello,
I'm very athletic. I take care of my health. I work out 5 times a week. I could do it. Trust me, I could do it.
Everyone's got. There's a level of cockiness.
All you need is confidence to get
you by. No. Trust me. I've seen people go. I'm not saying you can't do it. I believe you on your word.
One day you will watch me do it, and one day you will watch me throw a first pitch of somewhere in this world.
I know, that would be that actually
it's going to happen.
To have you be the first person from Cofield and Company. Keep in mind, we've been on the air 20 years in some form or fashion. It's not always been named Cofield and Company. We've done 5,000 plus shows. That would be a hoot. Hey, now he's getting a first pitch.
Put some money on it, Steve.
No one. Well, I'm sure we could hook it up. Trust me, you have a much better interest or a chance at getting a first pitch. We could probably hook it up pretty soon, too. I wonder what would happen. Because Greg Salerno, who's on the crew with Cofield and Company,
well,
shaky.
I will say, yeah. After that moment, Q went out.
I know he did.
I think he killed it. I think he did pretty good.
He did pretty well.
He went straight, at least. I don't think his body positioning was the most perfect.
Look at this. Look at this.
But he did
criticizing the boss, all right? I don't know what's worse. I'm an athlete, and I'm confident. You can do anything if you're confident.
Oh, Q already knows.
Or Q. Q did okay.
Q's level of confidence beats anybody.
He's very brimming in confidence.
So I'm definitely allowed to have my opinion.
All right. Oh, no. You can certainly. You're repping yourself, so of course you should. Some of the players in the game, this is really cool, to quite the list. Jack Eichel's side will include guys like Zach Whitecloud, Keegan Kolasar, Nick Hague, newbie, Brendan Rassan. Ryan Reeves will be out there. Zamir White is going to be on the Raiders side. Daniel Carlson.
Zamir White beefed up.
We're going to get into that, man. He did some off-season work for sure. Dylan Parham, Trevon Merrig. Enjoy it. Get out there, everybody.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Back here, Treasure Island, you heard it. We're at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. A great place to get some drinks, even better place to get some food. You got the Reuben and a beer special. We got fish and chips and beer special. Our staff, at least a couple of the guys, love the chicken salad sandwich. Just absolutely devoted to that thing.
That sounds good.
I love the Loco Mocos. They've got a Cajun Moco and the original Moco. Again, it's Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Speaking of Hawaiian fare, no one knows it better than Mateo. He's a poly in looks. We found that out the last couple of days. We talked to Timmy Chang, head coach of Hawaii, yesterday. And listen, the pineapple is up for grabs again, brought to you by the Cal. And this has been a great rivalry. UNLV got it last year, dominated, rushing for big numbers. We started out this part of the conversation with Timmy Chang, just talking about he freaking loves Las Vegas. And we talked about that, the fact that he is really keen on the Hawaii-UNLV connection.
I mean, there's such a tight connection between Hawaii, the ninth island in Las Vegas. You know, I love this place, and you know, it's rooted in Hawaii culture. You know, and it'll continue to be rooted in there. But you know, when we talked last year, I didn't know how good Barry Odom and his UNLV team would be. Holy smokes! it's a good football team.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it took you guys by surprise, but it definitely took me by surprise on how well they did. And I got to watch them. We had a, you know, we faced them. You know, we faced them pretty early on. It was about 3-3. I think we were 3-4 or 2-3 at the time. I forget where we were, but I knew we were a game away from 500. And you know, we came out here and we played in that beautiful stadium, and. You know, it was a good football team, you know, and we got to watch them play Vanderbilt, and we almost beat Vanderbilt. You know, we did beat Vanderbilt, and, you know, that was kind of one of the signs. It's like, oh, it's not the same UNLV team that we played the year before. And so Barry's got something going, and he's such a good guy. You know, and I have nothing but nice things to say about the UNLV program and Coach Barry and the direction that he's got the program headed.
We talked to a couple of your players yesterday, including Peter, your defensive back. And, you know, I was talking about the go-go offense. And I said, UNLV gave you kind of a tough time. He kind of looked at me for a second, almost like, you going to bring that up again? I'm like, well, it's kind of a talking point. But that was the game, really, right, as it went along. I think they rolled up 307, and he said the go-go offense, the run game, it was pretty complicated. And he said a lot of eye candy, a lot of eye candy.
Yeah. You know, the schematics are real similar to an offense. It's just the positioning of the guys that that allow you to do the things that you do, and then you throw a really good receiver in the mix in White, and he catches the ball, and now you got a 1,300 yard receiver, and so the combination of what that all presented was pretty tough, especially in the first year being. you know, seeing the offense and seeing what was the Google offense.
I've talked to a lot of players about something. Haven't talked to many coaches because they're all old. They don't care. You're young.
EA Sports.
The game's coming out.
Hell yeah.
You were on the game.
Oh, yeah.
How excited are you that this is that this is coming back, and how much of a fan were you?
Oh, man. Let's use I'm stoked. You know, I'm so excited for the student athletes and the football boys to really experience this, because it brings me back to my child, my 18-year-old. Yeah. You know, you have these student athletes, right? And they're not going to just study and play football all day long.
Sure.
Like, there has to be an outlet, but the toll that they put on their bodies, you know, they need a rest. And so, you know, playing video games is fabricated in student athlete culture, you know, and having this game come back, I mean, I expect big things from EA Sports. I know they're gonna rep it big.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the game. You know what I mean? and I know
you're all in.
They're gonna do it big, and you know, the graphics are gonna be better. I don't know if they're gonna get the run and shoot playbook. No, that's a big deal. And so I'm gonna go in there. I owe my kids. I got a 13, 11, 9, 6, and 3-year-old, right? And I tell you what, I owe some EA Sports 2025, I believe is it called?
Yeah, yeah.
Some 2025 college football games out there to some people, to some young ones that I know they're looking to collect. And so I'm going to be on that thing myself, and that'll be fun.
Are you going to be distracted from preparing for the season, or be like just – all in on the game for a couple weeks?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'll play when I play. But I'm taking off work. No.
I'm taking some vacation.
He's going to take a knee on the first play to honor the return of the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you even thinking about this?
Yeah, first play, take a knee.
I really respect that. I respect that. I do. No, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. You know, from where we came from and where college football is today, and I think it's a great thing that they're giving the players all a copy, and I think they might be paying them some money or so. But that's huge, and they're excited. I mean, they get to be on a game. They get to have their names in there and all this other stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm excited, and it's a great thing.
Timmy Chang's with us, the head coach of Hawaii football. Have the numbers officially come out? I know we talked to Ricky White yesterday, and you mentioned a guy who got 1,450 yards. He's actually the number one returning receiver by yards coming into the season. He was already steamed about his rating because he's not top 10 in the country. I wonder what McBride is rated.
Oh, I don't know.
My Lord. He's good.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. they're both. I mean, I tell you what. I mean, between Steven McBride, between White, between Torrey, I mean, you got Nash at
Nash,
San Jose.
Yep.
I mean, you got some dudes, and they're not, and these boys are not small. And I mean, they produce. I mean, the Mount West has produced great wide receivers, and I coached a bunch of them in Nevada, and we got a bunch of them that we're grooming in Hawaii right now, and so I'm excited about those guys, man.
So I was joking earlier about working the recruiting trail with Las Vegas players, and it's probably pretty rare you sit down anywhere here and someone's like, hey, I want to talk about your freshman quarterback. We talked to Shager yesterday. I know Shager has a job, but
yeah. You
got a freshman from Vegas with tremendous upside, and he probably has a little different versatility versus Braden.
Yep. There's more than one way to do things, but that young man does things at a high level that you can't coach. And I've been out to Vegas a few times to recruit him, and to make sure that he came back home to Hawaii. Now he played in Vegas, but he's originally from Hawaii. It's one of those Ninth Island connection type of deals. And so to bring him back home and play for Hawaii, unbelievable. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for him now. When we brought him in early and he graduated early, specifically because Braden went into the portal. We thought he was going to have to be the guy. Now Braden came back. Now it gives him another year to really learn within the offense, and he's not the only one. I mean, we got there's a Sagapolotele, John Sagapolotele, who's out of Punahou. His brother just committed to Cal. That's another good quarterback there. I in all honesty, I have This is the best quarterback room top to bottom that I've been a part of. And really starts with Braden and the two young freshmen, as well as another guy in Jake Farrell. But I just a quick story about Micah. We're in 7-on-7. I think that was our first competition. It was a 7-on-7 deal. And one of the very first plays he made this throw that not a lot of guys make. And I was like, holy smokes. I haven't seen that in a couple of years, but we had a good quarterback in Carson Strong that we were blessed to have in Nevada for a number of years, and Carson could make a bunch of throws. Micah's just a different cat that you guys, the kid doesn't lose, and he doesn't throw interceptions, and he demands the respect from his teammates, and so he's a high level player that I'm excited about.
What would you know about good quarterbacks at Hawaii?
Come on. I tell you what, the guy that I hired, Dan Morrison, might know, who was my quarterback coach and coach, he coached Cohen and a whole bunch of other great quarterbacks. But we're pretty lucky and fortunate as well as we're very fortunate and lucky in our program right now.
So Mike is one thing, he's kind of the now, but the future, you needed some run stuffers. Right?
Yep.
Got to get a little more stout. And we talked about Sauce last year at 5'11 and 3-something. How'd you do on the trail, the transfer portal, in terms of getting, bigger and more stout so that you can balance it out and stop the run?
Yeah, for sure. Dion Washington, who I recruited to Nevada, a Las Vegas native, is helping in the cause. We got a couple guys out of the transfer portal as well, and another JUCO guy. We kind of fill our cupboards based on need, but we really like to develop guys. We take pride in building the youth up, but if there's a specific need, definitely to stop something like the go-go offense, you're going to need some bigger guys up there in the front in the trenches.
We mentioned earlier that we talked some Hawaiian food with you last year. We have Zippy's now. People are freaking out. Is this a place we need to go?
You haven't gone?
You guys haven't gone.
You live closer to
the gun. I know.
I went months ago.
Every time I go, there's like a 2-hour line there. I can't go there.
That's good.
It's crazy.
How have you not gone? And I've already been there.
Huh? Did that seem? Is that a big Zippy's? When I walked up, I was like, man, this place seems big. I didn't know there was like a whole. I thought it was just fast food, and there's like a whole sit down area.
Yeah, that's kind of how it rolls, right? You got your takeout, but then you also got that whole family sit down deal. It's nice, beautiful.
Uh-huh. The line's too long.
You gotta go.
I might go.
It's so late night.
Because I had another question to ask about Hawaiian food.
Okay.
There's a place next door. Some of my friends have been just telling me I have to get oxtail soup. I don't get it.
Over the cow.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
Is it that good?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay. I gotta get it.
So exasperated, man.
Yeah, man.
Guilty pleasure.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I'd like to say he doesn't know how to eat, but no one's going to
believe it. First of all, you're going to take a week off of work, and then you're going to take a knee down.
For the video game.
Can we grab some oxtail soup before that knee, and then grab some Zippy's after you've taken the knee?
I might do that.
Okay.
I'm going to have to bring in food. I'm just not going to leave my room for like 2 weeks. It's going to be perfect.
We appreciate Circa hosting this, and this is actually our regular Thursday spot every week upstairs at Stadium Swim. But it's always necessary and good to – point out how much the Cal does for this rivalry, a specialty, and the trophy and all that.
Yeah, for sure. Sam Boyd has always been a big deal and a big part of the Islands, and we appreciate them for supporting us and also supporting UNLV.
Supporting the Las Vegas community, so a lot of good properties. Today we're at Treasure Island. That was a convo from yesterday at Mountain West Conference Media Day. We'll have a bunch of those coaches and player conversations posted over the weekend on our YouTube page and also up on Twitter and Facebook. That was Timmy Chang, the head coach of Hawaii. And we were talking about the Hawaii connection, Ninth Island to Vegas. That also means that they recruit players here. And one of the dudes he was talking about, Micah Alhado, who went to Gorman, smaller quarterback but option dude. And I think he's going to be breathing down the neck. I mean, he was raving there. He was raving about the quarterback room. I think he's going to be breathing down the neck of one Braden Shager. Hawaii could finally turn the corner this year and get to a bowl game.